who controls the American economy? The answer, to an extent that might surprise you, is index funds. These plain vanilla investment instruments now own around a quarter of the shares of publicly traded companies, giving the largest index funds unprecedented voting power and influence on the direction of the economy. How a handful of institutions became so powerful and what can be done to manage it is the subject of the book, The Problem of 12, When a Few Financial Institutions Control Everything by John Coates. John is a professor of law and economics at Harvard Law School, where he also serves as deputy dean and research director of the Center on the Legal Profession. Here he is to share five of his key insights.
My name is John Coates. I'm a professor at Harvard, where I teach corporate governance, finance, and other topics at the intersection of business and law. Here are five key points I make in the book. Insight number one, corporate governance is dramatically changing. The U.S. economy used to be dominated by hundreds of large companies and their managers, Exxon, Disney, Dell. But since roughly the year 2000, those companies have increasingly come under the influence of two types of financial firms, index funds and private equity funds. The roughly dozen or so people who oversee those funds already have had major effects on companies like Exxon and Dell. In 2018, for example, BlackRock and Vanguard, the two biggest index funds, installed three board members at Exxon with the goal of bending Exxon's strategy towards a low-carbon future. Over the years, hundreds of major companies have been bought entirely out by private equity firms, companies like Staples, Neiman Marcus, Toys R Us, and Dell. Those companies are now fully private in the sense that no one can get information about how they're being owned or operated by private equity funds. And the assets that these funds control continues to grow at a faster pace than the overall economy. Insight number two, index funds are too good for their own good. Index funds are, in a way, a victim of their own success. They never set out to control the overall economy, much less the political system. They were designed to, and they do, deliver on a basic set of middle-class investment goals. They're a way for ordinary Americans to invest for the long term, achieving diversification at a low cost. They are simple to monitor, and they do better on average than any other way for anyone outside the top 0.1% to invest reliably on their own. The result is that index funds have continued to grow and grow and grow. Currently, just the top four index fund families own more than 25% of nearly all large U.S. companies listed on a stock exchange. They've acquired massive power over corporate America without ever intending to. And with that power has come responsibility, the need for accountability, and a great deal of pushback. Insight number three, economies of scale in finance create a political problem, the problem of 12. The reason that index and private equity funds have acquired so much power and influence is that they benefit from economies of scale. Economies of scale exist when it's cheaper to do something in bulk. Think about buying huge amounts of paper towels at Costco. The price per roll is cheaper than if you buy a single roll at CVS. Doing things in bulk is, by and large, a good thing for consumers and the economy as a whole. It's more efficient. In finance, economies of scale are particularly strong. Finance is about gathering and investing money, mostly represented on a computer these days, and those tasks are mostly no harder and often easier at scale. Banks pay you more interest if you give them more money to hold as a reflection of these economies. Index and private equity funds are built on economies of scale. The largest have grown the most, and they continue to grow faster as they grow larger. BlackRock and Vanguard can charge the lowest fees because they're the largest mutual funds. Blackstone and KKR, private equity funds, are now much larger than all but a few of their rivals. Now, here's the key point. Economies of scale, which are good in themselves, by definition, concentrate assets. They create a problem of 12. They're at odds with dispersion of power and influence that American democracy has always sought to preserve. Insight number four, private equity funds are not really private, and they deserve more scrutiny. While index funds already are required to disclose a lot to the public, they could disclose more. Private equity funds, on the other hand, do not disclose much of anything. They're designed to avoid the legal triggers for disclosure requirements. They're treated as, quote, private, unquote, in U.S. securities law. None raises money directly from the public. Instead, they invest money for other institutions. But those other institutions really do derive their money from the public. And as a result, most private equity money comes from the public through pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, endowments, insurance companies, etc. They invest, in reality, on behalf of millions of individuals, few of whom even know their money is being invested in this way. Thus, the private in private equity is really a brilliant bit of marketing. It's a label that suggests they can or should be ignored by regulators and the American public. But in fact, such funds deserve more scrutiny. If they make mistakes, their investment failures cause investment losses and layoffs, which hurt the public. Their fees cut into the savings of millions of workers and retirees. They're growing larger over time, taking over more and more of the American economy. And with every buyout they achieve, they shrink the information that the public can get about how the economy works. Insight number five, Wall Street affects Main Street. Money and power go hand in hand. Finance and financial institutions are complex. It's tempting to ignore them. Index funds grow in part because they simplify investing. But the problem of 12 that they create means everyone is affected politically by these financial funds. As with banks and insurance companies, which by law are barred from having control over other parts of the economy, financial economies of scale make it politically dangerous to ignore index funds and private equity funds. Now, people, of course, disagree about politics, ever more so today. For example, despite what I think of as clear and convincing evidence that climate change is real and man-made and capable of being mitigated, many Americans disagree. Yet the power that their money conveys is wielded by a few people whose views on climate change vary and who were not chosen for those views, and whose views are probably not known to most of the people whose money they invest. Some of this has already begun to have political effects. Republicans are attacking BlackRock as too green, for example. Yet Blackstone, the private equity firm, also touts itself as pursuing low carbon outcomes. Vanguard and Apollo, another private equity firm, may well be too brown for many interested in climate change responses, if they knew enough about how those funds operate. The same is true for other political issues, diversity, labor and trade policy, even conflicts in the Middle East. The problem of 12 that index and private equity funds create means that they're a problem for everyone. For American democracy to work, we all have to pay attention to what these funds are doing with our money, and potentially come up with ways to change the way that they are regulated. I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, John. That was John Coates with five big ideas from The Problem of 12, When a Few Financial Institutions Control Everything. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.